Manuscript Releases, Volume 8, Numbers 526 to 663. M. R. Number 561, Glimpses of Ellen White's Philosophy. Now, let us see if there is not something for us to do. Let us see if we have not bound ourselves about with iron bands. Every one of us must come in that position where Christ can work with us. We must get where we will respect the judgment of others, and not think that my way is the only right way in the world. They say to me in Norway, Denmark, and Sweden, you cannot labor here as you do in America. But I tell them, I will give them the message as God has given it to me. God has not changed since I came to Europe, and I will bear my message just as He has given it to me. And if I fail of meeting the ideas of the people in this place, I want them to remember that God has not changed. He is the same here as in America, and He can give the same message here. It is Christ and Him crucified, and the Christ in me will respond to the Christ in you. Here is the Bible and the truth, and we must come to the platform of eternal truth and seek to be partakers of the divine nature, and then the true light will come into this nation. I think we should feel thankful that our home is in America, but we are not safe unless God protects us even there. For these men who are dissatisfied with kingly rule and heavy taxation are emigrating to America and are making their riotous speeches in cities there to arouse the working class to make a raid upon the rich and rob and plunder those who have property. These uneasy, dissatisfied elements are increasing in power. Every year the swellings of wrath, tumults, and fierce riots are increasing in Europe. The signs of the times tell us we are surely in the last days. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We can see these perils more distinctly here in Europe. Things are rapidly developing. All are ranging under their respective banners. All are preparing for some great event. All are watching for the morning. Seek to widen out. Let your preaching be with power and spirit, not the repetition of old discourses, but let fresh, new manna be given to the hungry sheep. You must draw daily from the living fountain of the waters of life. You will be inclined to assimilate the habits of the people in England, and to think this will give you more influence. You wrote that you were trying to become as English as possible, that the prejudice against Americans may not stand in the way of presenting the truth. But if you possess kindness and tenderness of soul for everyone around you, if you esteem others better than yourself, if you just pattern after Jesus, you will have an influence. If you attempt in dress, in the ordering of your house, in your manners, to be English, you will have a very little influence. Act out the American. No one expects you to act an Englishman. No one will respect you any more for adopting English speech, English hours, English customs. Just carry all the Americanism you can into your England mission, and let England see you are not at all ashamed to stand under the stars and stripes. Elder W. read to me the matter you had written for a tract or publication to come to the public, to notify them of your meetings. Now, my dear brother Daniel, Bordeaux, I think it would not leave the best influence upon the people for you to advertise in this manner. Although we are not to be ashamed of our nationality, as brother L. Blank and some others have appeared to be, in that they have sought to imitate the customs and blend with the peculiarities of the nations where and for whom they labor, thinking this would give them influence with the people, yet we must also consider in what manner we shall best introduce ourselves to the people, with the object of gaining their confidence and engaging their attention. I have been shown that we need to move with the greatest wisdom, that we shall not in anything create prejudice by giving the impression that Americans feel themselves superior to people of other nations. There have been two errors. One error in seeking in our words and actions to exalt foreign national customs above our own American habits and practices, and suiting our American stamp to adapt it to foreign countries, which will bring us no influence. Then there has been still another era of extolling in conversation, and in the labor for souls, American practices as far above those of other nations. We need to be constantly guarded on every point. The religion of these nations they think superior to all others, and are exceedingly jealous on this point. They send their missionaries to the uncivilized heathen, and to bear on the front, in our approach to them, that we are sent to this country from America as missionaries, will create the suspicion and jealousy at once that they are regarded as heathen. This is missionary ground. We are doing missionary work, but the peculiar prejudice will be stirred against us if we put it just as it truly is.
Now, my brother, I think it would be better if you did not put before the people so distinctly that you are an American and a missionary. I do not think it wise to present the sayings of men in reference to our own capabilities. Let nothing appear before angels or men savoring of self-exaltation, elevating yourself, that you are a smart man or a great man, and quote not the praises of men, but just go to work in the fear of God. Make no great spread, but keep self out of sight, and let Jesus appear, and commence in a humble manner. It is not best to arouse in this country, and in such a place as Geneva, the special attention of the clergy. If you enter large halls, and then have to come down to the smaller buildings, it will not have the best influence. It would be best to take the lowly seat, and then come up higher. Christ requires separation from the world. God's warnings were ever given to oppose such a course as you have been taking. He says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Be ye not unequally yoked together, letting unbelievers into your secrets. For all alliances that give undue influence to those who do not love God over those who profess his name must be strictly avoided. All combinations with unbelievers that bind as a yoke must be broken." These words apply not only to making a marriage covenant with an unbeliever, but to the making of all unions where the worldly element can have a prevailing influence over believers. "For what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." The members of the Church of God should be well organized, for they are to be as one. Their bond of union should be the living oracles of truth, for they should be united under the yoke of Christ. The yoke of Christ is the only yoke they should take upon them. The church is the Lord's, even though all within its covenant circle are not perfect in character. Judas was among the 12, yet he was not perfect, for he betrayed his Lord. Any confederacy with the world is strictly forbidden by the scriptures. God would have his people distinct from all worldly confederacy. If charity work is to be done, the church is its own almoner. We do not need to unite with societies of a worldly character in order to visit the sick, clothe the naked, or help the needy. This work we can do through God's own appointed agencies and in the name of Jesus Christ. God does not design that we shall be placed in any subservience to the world in this regard, or that any communication shall be made by us to them that will give them an advantage over us. It has been my object to so educate the children, Addie and May Walling, that they could sustain themselves in some literary work and not have to do housework, for this is slavery if compelled to do this for a living.
I have expended up to the time I left Europe in their education in their board bill, and for their clothing and transporting them back and forth from and to California, as my work required, $3,000. I am now having May learn to cook. She obtained considerable knowledge at Mrs. Harmon's. I should not have had her go to Nevada had I been consulted, for I have felt determined the girls should not either of them be placed in a line of business where it was not agreeable for them, and where they would be compelled or tempted to lift and do hard physical labor. Neither of them is fitted for this kind of work. I have felt anxious to have them learn to cook under a good, intelligent woman. Addie is a good cook, but May is not yet educated in this direction. These children are very near and dear to me, because I have not only given them care and invested in them money, but I have given them a mother's care and love. I have felt disappointed in not seeing Addie before this time, as I understand the agreement was that she was to return in January. Every day when at home I have looked for my eldest daughter's, her niece Addie Walling, return. And when away, every letter received I thought would tell me of her return. But times passes, and she does not come.
I have brought from Norway a musician and translator. And I've also brought from Chicago a young lady, Fanny Bolton, who has written for magazines like Mary Clough, and they are now engaged with me in my work. These were transported that I might place Addie right in my own good house in Healdsburg, in an excellent climate, under these successful teachers to help her in her education, that she shall have all the qualifications that I am able to give her of a complete education, to write, to prepare copy, or to read proof, and to command the best of wages. I have not worked at all from a selfish standpoint, but have labored that, if I should be removed by death, these girls would have a trade, using their mental ability to do good work and command good wages. I do not think either of them could be employed in housework, only that they should understand how to work in this line, how to be economical, and how to stand at the head of a household without embarrassment when that time should come. I am more and more burdened as I see young men coming from the school at Battle Creek deficient in the education they should have. It pains me as I realize how many who should be instructed have not the privilege. From the light given me from the Lord, I know that 4 or 5 successive years of application to book study is a mistake. Those who encourage this close application to books, working the brain, and neglecting the education they should gain by using the muscles proportionately with the brain, are simply incapable of retaining the lessons they endeavor to learn. If 1/3 of the time now occupied in the study of books, using the mental machinery, were occupied in learning lessons in regard to the right use of one's own physical powers, it would be much more after the Lord's order, and would elevate the labor question, placing it where idleness would be regarded as a departure from the word and plans of God. The right use of oneself includes the whole circle of human obligations to oneself, to the world, and to God. Then use the physical power proportionately with the mental power. Released September 26, 1977.